All right, so welcome to the December 11th use case realization call, the last one for 2019. Today, we're supposed to be talking with Dan Timoney about the controller and impacts to the controller. He'd said he would be available to talk about that when I contacted him. I don't know, Marcy, do you think you can, or Dongho, do you think you can maybe reach out and see if he's, maybe he just... or see if you can contact him with the chat or something.
Yeah, let me check the messenger, the internal messenger.
That would be great. Okay. And we'll have a quick recap of the ONAP ORAN Plugfest, which I thought went very well. And a number of people here were actually involved in, or, you know, attended and gave demonstrations or presentations. I was saying that the next meeting will be January 8th. We have a couple of topics lined up for down the road for next year. A discussion with Yuri on CCSDK and end-to-end automation. A discussion with David McBride on the general release planning and release requirement management with a shift to the Jira dashboard. And I don't know if people are aware, but there's also a discussion about the cadence, the change to release management, basically, release development process, basically. It's still in discussion towards a more moving from a waterfall type method to more of a agile sprint kind of development. And that's been in the works for about a year, and maybe there'll be more. It's in discussion with the PTLs and TSC, so we'll find out about that more later. It's obviously not going to affect R6, but it might affect R7. And then we talked about this discussion template, the use case template before, moving towards a new template in R7 that's a little bit more involved with or more descriptive of what a use case actually is and some of the pieces and parts of a use case. And Andy and Scott have been working on that. And at some point, I expect that they'll be ready to present that new template as well. So we see also that M2 and M3 is supposed to hit on January 21. So we are probably going to have a call related to the M1 discussion at some point as well, or M2, M3 discussion. So I don't know exactly when that'll happen. Also, I've been working with the modeling team on the way of working process between modeling and architecture and the use case teams. We've been week to week working on those. I can just show you that really quick while we're gathering here. So we've been talking about the modeling process and what in the modeling team we do at the various gates and each of the deliverables in the modeling process, what the modeling team does and what we kind of expect out of the use case teams, which are important here. So we'll have a more dedicated call on this to go over some of this detail. But I've been working closely with the modeling team to kind of define what we expect the interactions between the use case and architecture teams to be. So we'll have a call on that as well at some point.
Dan is joining. Yep.
Yeah, Dan is joined.
Oh, okay. Great. Wonderful. All right. Thanks, Dan, for joining. I was just kind of going over some of the things that we planned to be doing here. On upcoming meetings. Okay, so without further ado, we have Dan Timoney here who will be who were going to have a discussion about the use cases. I went through all of the use cases, all of the pages on the use cases, Dan, and you can go to the link for today's meeting. I've linked through all of the use cases. I went to all of the wiki pages, and I keep a spreadsheet of where use cases had impact to the controller. But also now, of course, now that we're in M2, a lot of these sorts of discussions I had with the teams before, you know, at M0 and M1, so they were a little bit more meaningful maybe there, but it's still good to open up a dialogue and let people describe and discuss what's going on in the various use cases. So for pre-onboarding and onboarding, I don't expect there to be any impact to any of the controllers. Right, Zhu? You don't think there's any impact that you see, right?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. For plug and play, I think Oscar was leading well, this is what was in the page. So supporting NetConf, workflow and SO, extending with optional configuration step, using CDS API within CDS to create a blueprint for Ansible and NetConf, CDS southbound using different protocols, supporting ONAP communication back to the PNF via Ansible and NetConf. So I think that's what that's step 37 flow of the communication from the controller back to the, by NetConf or Ansible back to the PNF, I think was one of the epics. Was the main epic I saw that. Yeah, go ahead.
So for NetConf, we have a separate use case or requirement. So it's not really worked on as within plug and play, but in a related requirement, this configuration with NetConf.
Okay, so this is just related to that main use case.
Yeah. So plug and play defines this step 37, but the actual work on the NetConf option we have done in a separate requirement.
Yeah. For the NetConf, are you planning to use the NetConf adapter on CDS, or are you rooting through?
Already in Dublin, we had created a solution that used CDS. As part of this post instantiation configuration for PNF, the change we are doing in Frankfurt is actually just to convert from Python or JSON really to Kotlin, because that was required because the JSON option is being phased out.
Okay.
But it's still using Open Daylight as the NetConf client.
Perfect. The reason I ask is that I know that they CDS has NetConf built in as well, and I've heard some pushback on that from Brian that's sort of not architecturally correct. So I just want to make sure that wasn't something that we were doing.
Okay, and so. Oscar, I guess this is the main use case you're saying where all this is happening with the communication, right?
Yeah, actually the use case is the first part, PNF configuration with NetConf. So this line in the table is actually another part of that, or a specific part of that use case is yet another thing. We're working on is to add some new security options for the certificate.
Okay. So, but once you have the NetConf stuff developed, the plug and play is a use of that and will be tested with that, I guess, right?
Yeah. So we normally test the entire flow from the receiving the PNF registration event to continuing with the configuration.
Okay. So Dan, do you kind of understand what's happening with this use case and how it applies? And do you have any questions of other questions about this development?
No, that's good. Like I said, my only question is I just want to make sure that NetConf is going through the SDN controller so that the architecture committee doesn't push back. Just to be clear, the pushback was if we start to take that out, then the question becomes, well, wait, are we saying CDS is another controller? No, it's not. So that's why we just want to make sure that we're not creating confusion.
I see. And I've been a little bit confused myself, actually, about we have SDNC, SDNR, AppC, and VFC, and CCSDK, and
And
some of these things merged, and they didn't merge, and I some didn't go.
The way to think of it is CCSDK is meant to be like the platform that you use to build controllers. SDNC is the controller, singular, in ONAP. Controllers in ONAP can have multiple personas, meaning, by which we mean, like, a particular instance of a controller may have some, you know, different sets of functionality turned on or turned off depending on the application. So one such persona is SDNR. Another such persona is AppC. That's where we're trying to merge to. But what I just said is true for SDNR, not so true for AppC. So, that's what we're trying to get to.
Oh, okay.
You know, AppC really is a separate controller today, but we're trying the architectural goal, I think, is to merge them. But, you know.
I see.
That part of it, I hesitate a little bit on because. Uh-huh. That's the architectural goal. I don't know that there's staff assigned to do it.
I see. Okay.
So it's like, so we're going there, but I would feel a lot less hesitant if I had people lined up to get us there.
Right. And VFC is also a controller in its own right.
VFC and AppC have always... There's always been sort of that dichotomy there.
Uh-huh.
I think part of the, or I think that gets into part of the same dichotomy as should SO be sort of declarative or procedural? Like, should it be driven by Tosca or should it be driven by BPML?
So this movement to this trying to get AppC to be a persona piece, is that happening in R6 or is that planned? Is it just
it's probably more of an R7 thing.
Okay.
It's going to probably be a multiple release thing.
Okay.
The very earliest I could see it finishing is R7, and that's a stretch.
Okay, I see.
But that's something I know Brian has been advocating. Yeah, Brian Freeman has been advocating.
Okay. And is the is that same thing happening also to VFC or no?
No, VFC is a different animal. I can't really speak to that.
Okay, and
just because of my own ignorance, not for any other reason.
Okay, and do all of these things are rooted off of CCSDK? Is that right?
Not DFC. The others are.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, DFC. I don't really. I'm not that familiar with VFC.
Okay. All right.
I think a lot of those things, though. I don't want to say. I think in the VFC world, they tend to think to be more geared around the on towards the idea of VMSs.
The idea of what?
I'm maybe not correct, but I thought that in the VFC way of doing things, they were talking to a third party controller, which for all practical purposes might as well be an EMS.
Okay.
So that I thought that was the way they were doing it, but maybe I'm wrong. And you know, in the other way of doing things, we're like EMS. No, we don't want one of those.
Yeah. So I didn't also quite get, you said, how is this statement about SO being declared or procedural related back to the controllers?
Yeah. Way back, you know, in, Amsterdam, I think that when we first created ONAP there was kind of two camps, right? The AT&T, the original AT&T view of SO was driven by BPM. It was more procedural, right? So there were business rules coded in BPM. No. And the like some of the Chinese carriers were more looking at a Tosca driven approach.
Okay.
And I think that the Tosca, I'm not close enough to that, you know, aspect of things to know where we're at now. I think okay. We're kind of my last understanding is we kind of ended up with sort of a hybrid approach. But I don't know. I'm not as familiar with the internals of SO to know how true that is.
Okay.
But kind of part of that whole thing was, okay, so how do we control lifecycle events? Should we use VFC or should we use APC? That seemed to be tied up in that whole thing. That's why I went off on that tangent. Because I thought VFC was aligned more with the like Tosca-based way of orchestration.
I see. Okay. And you're saying the others SDNC is more aligned to this.
Yeah, but BPM. I should probably defer to you know people who know that stuff like Seshu who would know that obviously way better than me.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I think that's useful. Any other questions people might have, sort of the general operation or where controllers are headed in general? All right. Okay, so for PNF software upgrade, the wiki page and the spreadsheets indicate impact, and I copied from the wiki page. They have an epic related to software upgrade to support the LCM API, the self-service API for downloading new software and activating new software actions to provide a CDS blueprint for those same operations. I don't know if Zoo or I guess Zoo's leading this, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to describe more what's exactly happening? Do you have more details?
Most of the impact is in SO.
Are there new? There's new APIs being developed.
Yeah, there's a new API, but it's SO API.
Ah, okay. Does that affect the, you know, what Dan's doing? Is there a controller impact? Is there?
No, I don't think there will be controller impacts.
So this is where I copied the CCSDK and controller stuff. Obviously you have that also for, so does that mean this should be taken out or something, or what, how are they just using it?
Okay, yeah, that's I think that's what added by the Huawei team, because they have some impact on this Ansible solution. So they are going to provide additional Ansible playbook for the controller.
I see. So I guess most of the impact of the core part of PNF software upgrade being done by Ericsson is NSO, but there's some other work being done by Huawei, yeah, which does this stuff. Okay.
No, the bullet one, bullet two, I think that's the impact on SO. So if you try to...
Oh, I see.
Yeah. It's more like if you want to put a statement about the controller impact, it will be the Huawei team that they are going to provide additional Ansible playbook to the controller.
But it's not only the playbooks, actually, for saying... Before you only had the upgrade software API, and now we want to split that into separate download and activate steps. That is actually an API impact also.
Which impacts the controllers?
So SDNC uses the LCM API version from CCSDK, and in order to support the Ansible path, which Huawei has in one scenario, you actually need to go to CCSDK and add new RPCs in the API for activate and download software.
Okay, so that is impact to, it sounds like, to CCSDK, right? That's why it's here in the CCSDK piece. Is that right? That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yeah. So I think point one there is basically what I was describing.
What you're describing, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I actually remember seeing a change posted for the first time. So I know that's P1.
Okay. And maybe that's REQ92. I guess I would have expected maybe a CCSDK ticket.
You probably need to look at the scenario 3.
Huh. Scenario 3.
Yeah. In here. Just stop here. Scenario 3, if you click on that one.
Click
go
on.
Go up a little bit. There's a menu. Yeah. Stop here. Uh-huh. Under development ticket. Uh-huh. There's scenario 1 under development ticket. This is upper. No, go down a little bit. Go down a little bit, please. Yeah. Under development. Yeah. There's a scenario 3. Click on it.
I see. Uh-huh.
Then you'll see the ticket.
I see. Okay. Okay. I see. These SDNC 857 and 56. Okay, I see. All right, good. So Jimmy, I found out a way, you know how when you add some new ticket, it just seems to jump to a random point in the thing that you,
yeah, that's
also,
right,
you were also expecting.
Found a way.
I found a way that at least consistently adds it. It's a really not maybe very efficient, but I find, like, see here, it's adding it to here where I didn't want it to add. Although that way it didn't work. So what I found was working, at least for a while, was I'd let it add to wherever. I'd hit Control Z to undo, and then I'd type in like a few X's or just some text somewhere. And the second time it did it, it would do it. Let me see if it works now. 57. So anyway, that was working for a while. So you might try that. It's really weird and awkward, but at least it was working. Maybe it gets confused possibly in adding to tables. That's my theory right now. It was adding to the top of the table for a while, and I thought maybe that was the issue.
Yeah, sometimes it would go outside the table.
Exactly. Really, yes. And then it would add it to the top of the table. But then when I hit Control Z and then I just put in some like random text and then did it again, it usually added to the right place. So you might try that.
Yeah, but I think you have a different scenario in different roles. So I think the text we just add into this piece, you can move it to the one down. Yeah, this PNF, not this one, the one after this one. Yeah, this one.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. In fact, I can probably move all this text then from.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. And so that means this first part has no impact, really. This is all just, this is really for the this part down here, right? Is that right?
No.
No. That's... Oh.
Impact on CSSDK. Well, what is this text?
This was the, this is what I copied from up here. From here where you wrote that there's CCSDK work and there's also, or I don't know, maybe Huawei wrote it, that there's impact.
So for the CCSDK, I think you have two separate points. So the first one I would associate with this Ansible option. And the second one I would associate with the scenario where you instead use, say, CDS plus Open Daylight.
Yeah, but that one doesn't have an impact to the controller.
No, right? if you don't count the blue CBA itself as impact, then we have no impact. That's correct.
Yeah. So let me do this. Let me move this down to here. And are you saying this should be deleted, or maybe I'm confused?
Yeah, that's not the code impact. It's more like a integration job.
A test impact.
Yeah.
So do you want to put, or I can change it for you. You want to say test only in that piece?
Yeah, you can put test only.
Oops, went down too far. Okay. And I assume down here, down here too, right? Dan, do you have any questions about all of this with stuff for the software upgrade? Any comments or questions or thoughts?
No, that seems reasonably straightforward.
Okay. All right, so that's all those. Then we had the enable schema update, the PNF software upgrade with an EM with netconf. I don't think there's any impact there, unless Oscar or Sue.
It might be a test impact, or test only.
Okay, thank you.
The scheme update actually not even test only.
Okay. All right, then configuration with netconf. Go ahead.
Yeah. So here we're looking at adding a second option for the certificate handling used by netconf TLS in SDNC. So the idea is to have an option to, I believe that from the init container of SDNC, request a second certificate from AAF using the existing API. So you would basically every UNAP component would request a certificate for to protect internal communication between the UNAP components. And now for some border components like SDNC, we would like to have a dedicated certificate for the external communication to say VNF, PNF, UBNET.conf, TLS. So the idea is to have that option to request the second certificate from AEF and then use it in open daylight. So you basically request the certificate from AEF and then have some code that installs it into the NetConf key store. I think it's called something like that in ODL.
Okay. And this is the ticket, I think, for 966.
Yeah, I don't remember the number, but yeah, we have a ticket.
Okay. Dan, do you have any thoughts or questions or comments? Or Oscar, do you have any questions for Dan about the implementation, development?
The only question or issue that we have to figure out is, in OOM apparently there's a requirement that says that we have to honor a global flag to enable or disable AAF. And if AAF is disabled, how do we handle in that COMP-TLF?
So I guess the fallback we have since Dublin is a manual method to provide the certificate via, I think, maybe it was a, you basically put it in a persistent volume manually or something. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
but
yeah,
we have that kind of procedure since before.
Okay, I mean, that'll work, or if we have the ability to generate a self-sunsert on the fly, that'll work too, whatever. It's just like a detail that we had to make sure we were handling. I'm not particularly a fan of that requirement. I just quoted, by the way, but nobody asked my opinion.
I've also seen too, like for example, we were just doing all those demos. I mean, you know, everything is a container, right? Sometimes there's just components that aren't even installed. We found we would assume though, I guess in a full service provider installation. We were doing demos in a lab, so maybe you're going to run into that problem more frequently, but we've also come across those kind of situations as well.
In a service provider scenario, usually there's an infrastructure that you have to follow to manage certificates, right? Usually they have their own. It's not AAF, it's whatever they're using internally. So it's,
Is that going to be a problem with this flow?
I mean that almost makes the manual method, in some ways that almost makes the manual method more desirable if you think about it, right? Because then you can manually install whatever you want, but.
Or it makes the manual method an important fallback in case you don't have, reasons.
Because it could well be that the provider has a mechanized method and you just have to swap out the sidecar.
Right.
Instead of, doing the AAF sidecar, you do so whatever automated method you do in your enterprise. But.
Okay. Okay. Oscar or Sue, do you have any questions for Dan?
No, not in this meeting. No.
Okay. So service modeling, Dan, is a use case where the 5G team is kind of looking at what it would take to make an actual 5G service. And I've been looking at, I'll just show you. I've been looking at the I'll give you the overview real quick. So we've been kind of looking at, you know, what it takes to create and model an actual DU in CU and preparing ONAP to do that. And what does it mean to have a 5G service and its associated resources, and notably getting the PNF in shape so that it can do that. It was looking at the PNF descriptor model and the what's in ANEI, and I've been working with Jacqueline from Ericsson to look at all the stuff that might have to be introduced, the SDSC, the AADs, and the ANEI schemas, and looking at various standards. Lately, I've been looking at the 3GPP20S.541, and I contacted the rapporteur of that standard, which has a description of all the object, you know, the NRM, the object model, the network resource model. And we're looking, I was looking at all the objects and all its parameters and all of the parameters that might possibly be introduced in the runtime config DB. I don't think anything will need to be expanded in ANEI. There are a couple of IP addresses, but I think there's a number of different IP addresses already in ANEI that should be sufficient. Possibly maybe the IDs, or maybe the states. I'm not sure. We have to have that conversation. So maybe there might be one or two things in the ANEI schema that might have to be introduced, but likely everything else is probably going to be in the runtime config DB. I don't know that this impacts the controllers in any way or the APIs. I'm not sure. But we had a conversation about introducing the runtime config DB, you know, in CCSDK. So we had that conversation, you and I, with the people on that team. Okay. But anyway, that's what that use case is about. So do you have any questions?
Nope.
Okay. I'll go on. Okay, so for bulk PM and for PM dictionary from metadata, I didn't see any impact.
For bulk PM, it's no code impact, maybe because as a note, say it's actually test only because it will include the controller.
Okay. Whoops. Okay, great. Thanks, Oscar. And is there anything you want to describe about what's happening with
relevant? Yeah. So the flow that we are expecting for this PM control use case in Frankfurt is that policy will use the CDS API. And then we will have a customized CBA or blueprint to support it.
Okay, I see. All right. Okay, great. So for OF San PCI, Swami was on the call, but he dropped. So I copied things from the page, which I don't know if anybody can speak to this now, because Swami had dropped. So I don't know if Dan, if you're aware of some of the things that have happened in OFS on PCI, enhancing the Yang model to align with 3GPP and ORAN, configuration operational database, config history to revert changes, and a RAN simulator to enhance and include the ONAP code base. CCSDK 1654 and 1796. Right. And then network slicing has a ticket, 9:15. Is anybody working on network slicing on the call? Directed graphs receiving DBAM message from SO and RAN network slicing service indicator details mapped up to netconf messages sending to the RAN. Interaction with plug and play to be discussed. ConfigDB could be leveraging existing ConfigDB and extending it.
Yeah. Is anybody, I'm not sure if anybody working ConfigDB is on the call, but my only question on that is, I assume that there would have to be a schema for the ConfigDB, and if so, is it going to be available by M2, M3?
So I'm involved in the ConfigDB use case. I think they were looking at a fixed schema, a predefined schema. Mm-hmm. From what I know, the schemas that will be used in R6 from these various use cases, the three use cases that might be using ConfigDB will have just predefined. This is what's going to be in the, that's going to be used in the database.
Okay. So, I mean, as long as that's available by, M3, that's...
Right, right.
We're good.
That's a good point.
I don't want to get smacked around because it came in late.
Yeah, and it mentions it here, so hopefully they're aware of it. And I know the whole thing started with basically from OS on PCI, so I know they've already shown me a schema they're using.
Yeah.
So.
I was assuming it was going to be a fairly generic thing, that it wasn't going to be.
Otherwise, how
would you maintain it?
It looks sort of like a machine generated thing. So I don't think it was done by hand. Even though I've read about defining schemas by hand, I think they had some sort of tool or something to generate the schema.
Okay, that's fine.
For the mobility standards harmonization with ONAP, Vimal and Marge were generally leading that. I did see that for requirement 38, and also there's a CCSDK ticket open for related to the A1 interface, which I think is the RIC interface, near real time or non real time or real time RIC, for LCM. But I'm not sure what that entails.
I can have some comment. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. So that ticket is already discussed with Dan a long time back, and
okay.
Yeah, Sandeep is working on that actively, and I understand that Sandeep is talking to Dan about some Docker container. That's the latest update from last week.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, so Sandeep is working on that, basically.
Is it exactly? Why do we need a change to CCSDK or anything?
Oh, yeah, he's working on the A1 adapter. Basically, it's getting the A1 policy through DMAT, and then convert that to the A1 compliant interface. Yeah, and to talk to the A1, the RIC side.
Ah, I see. Okay. So that is actually software development. That's that adapter.
Yeah. So, I mean, just for implementation detail, Sandeep is working on the DMAP agent and also the DG based some workflow. Yeah.
Okay. So the impact in the actual page is very sketchy. There's not much there. Outside of just I think I got it from here. Maybe we need to describe that a little more, or you're counting on this ticket to help you describe what's going on. But it probably would help just to have some words about, instead of just tickets. So if you look, for example, in the software upgrade, they have a really good page. It describes basically what. Big idea of what's happening, and then below here they have all the tickets. You can, I've seen pages also integrate the tickets with the text, but it probably helps to have just like what you told me here. This is roughly what we're doing. We're developing an A1 adapter because of, you know, in order to convert messages into an A1 compliant interface to integrate with the RIC, something like that. And then list the tickets, I think would be good.
Okay. Yeah. Let me add some text. Yeah.
That'd be great. Thanks. Okay. So Dan, you're already aware of the runtime config DB stuff. We had a meeting, separate side meeting for that, and it's being introduced into CCSDK. And I think that was a recorded meeting as well. So originally this was going to be a separate component project, but I think just to get something done in R6, we're looking now just to introduce this into CCSDK. So Dan had brought up a lot of questions, good questions about who would maintain this, and as if it were a separate component, you'd need a PTL, essentially a lead. And, you know, we still need to work through that. We're also, it's also taking, as you can might imagine, it takes a long time to introduce the project proposal. So we're still working through that. To introduce a new project is not a trivial thing, obviously. So the team is working through the template that we got, that we were pointed to by the architecture subcommittee. You know, here's how to describe a new component and all the pieces of that, give an overview and how it fits into architecture and what it does and what's the project description and so forth. But that's not going to happen, and you know that won't get done obviously in time for R6. So we're doing that at earliest in R7, but in R6 then we're looking at doing something in CCSDK. Okay, so the rest of these use cases, actually their web pages, their wiki pages are pretty sparse. I don't know if Dan, if you know anything about NRM or licensing management. Well, I know licensing management doesn't have any impact to control, but service resolver scaling does mention in one place something about the controllers, and I think it's listed as test only. The mobile service chaining, I'm not sure. BBS. If anybody's on the call related to any of these, you can speak up. CCVPN, control loop. Again, the control loop is a laundry list of things we're doing related to, you know, control loop stuff. And they do mention one thing on their page. So you might want to look at that. Multi-domain, the MDONs, multi-domain optical services.
For that, Ben, we've actually identified the requirements. Not for the control loop, for the MDONs.
Right. MDONs actually has something good in their page.
We have a page which has a summary of the code.
Right. Oh, okay.
I can send you a link of the wiki.
Yeah. Okay. That would be great. So this is the link to the wiki I put in the table here, and there's a nice description here, I think, which I copied.
Yeah, no, we have a subpage called, I just put it in the chat.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Let me
go to the chat. Which has the details for CCSDK, SDNC.
Ah, okay. I see. Okay, good.
So basically, there are some new DGs that we are introducing.
Okay. Wait. So Swami actually did... Swami actually responded because I said that Swami dropped off also, and he actually made a comment. Let me just copy it in here. So he said Swami had said there's two use cases he's involved with. OSAN PCI use case, you expect SDN impacts to do ORAN alignment, config DB, and he's expecting Sandeep to contact Dan. And then for the network slicing use case, SDN impacts are not clarified for Frankfurt yet. And they'll contact Dan once the details are in place. Okay. So Dan, I guess you should expect some contact from Swami and Sandeep.
Yep. Yeah, that's fine.
Nah. Okay. I know one of the things that happened with the network slicing is there were two different proposals from two different vendors, and they had to reconcile. They had said that we're just only doing one use case, and we don't want two network slicing use cases. So it took them some number of weeks to kind of reconcile what between the two teams, what's actually going to be done. So they're still working through that fallout. Okay. So Raghavan had given me a link here. Okay. Oh boy. So Raghavan, you're saying this is a dedicated page for what's the changes in R6 for?
Yeah, specifically to SDNC and CC SDK that make some changes to existing components. Basically adding a couple of new DGs for the service creation and deletion, adapters for the OpenROTM and the transport API of standards API of integration into SDNC. And for supporting topology discovery and service instantiation. So I think Shin might have brought this up in one of the SDNC weekly meetings with Dan. Not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I guess you're aware, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I remember we did discuss this in one of our SDN calls.
Okay.
And then, do you have any questions for that team or?
No.
Okay.
Seems reasonably straightforward.
All right. For change management, again, I there was something I think related to that, but kind of sparse. They did mention something, a change. If you go to this page, it does mention something related to SDNC here, delivery of VFW Kubernetes use case integrated with CDS and modification of CDS required for Kubernetes workflow. I'm not sure if you understand what those changes are. Maybe that needs investigation. And then the Kubernetes-based cloud region support. I think there was a test-only impact, maybe. And that's all I saw on these on the other things. So. So I've experienced this in some of the other discussions as well. So in our use case realizations, the things in blue are where we've had discussions with PTLs, like Shankar for OF, Sashu for SO, BJ for DCAE, Jimmy for ANI, and so forth. And, some of the pages are just so sparse, or they're written in such a way that you can't necessarily figure out. Like these pages aren't completely blank, but they're written in such a way that you can't necessarily figure out what impacts there are. Like from here, I don't know how you from these goals, can you tell if there's impact to the controllers? I have no idea. If you haven't heard already, maybe you might want to follow through with some of these other teams. Okay, we're at time, actually. Did anybody else have any final thought or question for Dan? Okay. Dan, I hope you found this useful. We meet with the different PTLs just so you don't have to have 20 separate meetings with lots of different use case teams.
This was helpful. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry for joining late.
No worries.
On my calendar, but.
Okay. All right, great. Thanks everybody for joining. And I will upload the recording and send out the link at the later today. Okay. Okay, thanks then and have a good day. I'll let everybody get on to the next meetings.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.